Vitamin D, the so-called sunshine vitamin, has been in the news a great deal of late. Touted as a magic supplement, protective for bone and heart health and against cancer. There have been hundreds of new studies that have linked low vitamin D levels to a higher risk of chronic health problems. Heart disease, stroke, diabetes, prostate, breast, and colon cancers, autoimmune diseases, infections, depression, and even cognitive decline. Studies have also suggested that many Americans are vitamin D deficient due to working and playing indoors and slathering on the sunscreen. This led many doctors and major medical groups to advocate for increasing the use of vitamin D supplements as a part of an overall health strategy. So much so that the sales of vitamin D supplements have soared to $425 million last year from $40 million in 2001. But a recent report issued from the Institute of Medicine, the health arm of the National Academy of Sciences, has caused some stir in the medical community. Though the panel tripled the recommended amount of vitamin D most Americans should take every day to 600 international units from the 200 IUs set in 1997, these recommendations are still far lower than what's been recently advocated. And they also raise the specter of possible ill effects of too much vitamin D. So what's a body to do? Who needs vitamin D supplements and why? And how much do we need for optimal health benefits? Joining me this morning to help us sort through all of this is Dr. Samuel Bedalian, a clinical associate professor of obstetrics and gynecology at Upstate Medical University, who has recently published a study linking vitamin D deficiency with pelvic floor disorders in women. Welcome, Dr. Bedalian.
Thank you.
So glad to have you with us today. Let's start out by explaining what exactly is vitamin D. What is it? What is it? And is it a vitamin? Is it a hormone? What is it?
It's an interesting question because we all of us know that vitamin D, it's called vitamin, which means people think this is vitamin, which you can go and buy from the store and take like any other vitamins, vitamin C. But actually, vitamin D, it's more hormone, and it's called calcitriol, which we need to our body. And we need for cell growth, for normal cell division. Actually, if you have a deficiency of vitamin D, or any cells in our body can grow abnormally, which can cause potential problems.
They grow abnormally.
Normally,
if there's a deficiency,
right. And it can actually increase the risk of any cancers, which is we know about it, because cell growth connected to the cancer, abnormal growth. This is the reason why, and it's play significant role in any our function in physiology of our bodies, starting from the pregnancy, continuous of childhood, continuous of adults, why calcitriol plays significant role. We know many years, we know it's a rickets for children, it's connected with vitamin D deficiency. Osteomalacia or osteoporosis, bone disease, which connected with the vitamin D deficiency. And study which was published many years, we know about the osteomalacia, which is soft bones, or osteoporosis, when you have people can break their bones, which is connected with the aging. Even for young adults, calcitriol is so important for their metabolism, their normal function. For obesity, even people with obese people have less vitamin D, because even with now trying to connect vitamin D deficiency with the many metabolic diseases, metabolic syndrome called polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is also can be connected with vitamin D.
So vitamin D is a key player in the health of the body. Now, is there more than one kind of vitamin D? They talk about vitamin D2, vitamin D3. Can you help explain
that? Actually, it's one of the key players. You cannot take key player there are many other ferments and hormones in our body which regulate. It's very complex. And the vitamin D difference of vitamin D, it depends what kind of vitamin D you're taking, because you're creating vitamin D from the sun. When we're outside, you know, sun can affect our skin, you know, our skin can produce vitamin D, then going to go through your liver, then through your kidneys, and going to help to absorb the calcium. This is how it works.
So basically, you need the sunshine to create the vitamin D in your body, and it's not that readily available in food.
Actually, the cheapest source of vitamin D, it's the sun. This is free vitamin D, what you can get outside. Unfortunately, all of us are scared with the dermatologist telling you're going to have skin cancer and you're not going to have because of the sun exposure. But I can tell you, you have to be outside at least 15-20 minutes in order to your body can create enough vitamin D, then you can apply sunscreen in order to protect us. This widespread deficiency and insufficiency of vitamin D, this is because you're living in a closed environment, everything is closed, conditioned, you're driving cars, you're not going outside, your body is not exposed to the sunshine. This is the biggest problem what you're facing now. Second source of vitamin D, it's the food what you're eating, particularly salmon. The fish, what do you eat?
Mackerel and salmon.
Mackerel and salmon. Look, the people in northern states like Alaska or take Sweden, Arctica, any places in northern, when you have less sunshine, traditionally people are eating more fish, salmon, to compensate their vitamin D deficiency. This is actually, they didn't know about vitamin D. They were just eating fish because this was helping them to prevent other health problems. This is what the difference is, which means you have to try to...
Right, but tell me about vitamin D3 versus vitamin D2. Are those two different things that are created in the body?
Vitamin D3 is more important for us to take because this is one which can actually help us to increase 25-hydroxy vitamin D level. We used to do vitamin D many years ago, but this was not correct and actually is not helping us and it's not doing great.
So vitamin D3 is
vitamin D3 is now we have to concentrate.
And because we don't get it much in food, it's not that readily available, and because it's not being made in the body... in our bodies because we're not exposed to sunlight, we really need to take supplements. And then the question, of course, is how much is too much?
Yes.
Who needs it? And how much is too little? And we've only got a couple of minutes left before our break. So tell us why we need it really quickly. What does it do for us? As you said, cell growth. Does it help with muscle strength?
Vitamin D, it's most important thing, it's a connect with the cell growth. It's a huge antimicrobial agent in our body. Actually, it's kind of, it activates antimicrobial protein called cultividin, which is kind of like helps us to fight with infections.
Oh, so it's helps, anti-infection.
It's anti-inflammatory. Actually, helps our muscle strength, helps our bone strength, and help us our in general, you know, cognition.
Well,
you know, people with deficiency have depression, tiredness, and weakness, which is kind of connected to the deficiency.
Well, hold that thought because we're going to be right back when we're going to continue to explore vitamin D and what levels are best. I'm Linda Cohen. This is HealthLink on Air, 570 WSYR. Dr. Steve Samuel Badalian, and we're discussing vitamin D, that magical supplement that's been in the news so much lately. Before the break, we were talking about, you know, kind of what vitamin D is, what kind we need, what it helps us with in the body. Tell us about the levels. I know that there's a lot of controversy as to what we need. Now, first I'll just say, I think the fact that we now can measure it in the blood and that now physicians as part of a general health maintenance are measuring the vitamin D levels helps us because now we really have a quantifiable means to analyze whether we have, you know, what our levels are. But where are we at today with levels?
Yeah,
what's good?
I agree with you, Linda, that everything is changed in vitamin D when you come up with some values, what we can follow, the levels of blood levels of 25-hydroxy vitamin D. The panel come up together in 2005, and they come up with the value which needs to be in our blood system in order to have a normal metabolism and prevent osteoporosis. Panel come up with a number between 28 to 32 nanogram per milliliter.
That's a nanogram per milliliter, but all people really need to know are the numbers. So
number.
You're saying 28
if
to 32.
If you can take, yes, 30. Take magic number 30. If it's less than 30, we need to work on it, try to increase. If it's
with
higher
supplements.
Than supplements. If it's higher than 30, you can just go with the regular vitamins, which has 600 units or 1,000 units or vitamin D. But if your level is less than 30, you really need to work on it. Needs to take some supplements in order to increase. Because we know so far many, many, many health problems can be related with vitamin D insufficiency and particularly deficiency. If your level is less than 15 or 10, you have a deficiency of vitamin D, which actually seriously you have to approach to this problem. And you have to be followed with healthcare professional in order to monitor your vitamin D level regularly.
So give me an example of if you have a real deficiency, if you're below 15, like you
yes.
said, What kinds of illness or what kinds of problems do you see?
There is a symptoms which is connected with vitamin D deficiency. Weakness, muscle weakness, tiredness, depression, sleepless. You know, diseases like fibromyalgia, people think they have a muscle problems, pain, you know, everywhere. Body's hurting, less energy. If you check their vitamin D level, sometimes you see significant vitamin D deficiency. As soon as you start to compensate and giving the supplements and increasing vitamin D level, people feeling more energy, less pain, less muscle pain, they're less tired, and their more functional energy level goes up immediately, which means the presentation of vitamin D deficiency, it's weakness, less energy, tiredness, muscle pain. And many times you can confuse with many other problems.
But we've also mentioned things like obesity or osteoporosis, yeah. And those are also secondary to vitamin D deficiencies?
Absolutely. We know many, many years that vitamin D deficiency is connected with osteoporosis. This has been around, you know, over 20 years. We know about it very well. But recent studies showing that it's connection with vitamin D deficiency and obesity. Week ago in Oslo, Norway, the Lagunova published study in Journal of Nutrition. It showed a significant connection, vitamin D deficiency and obesity. Obese people have significant deficiency. Now we don't know what vitamin D deficiency starting to change metabolism and causes metabolic syndrome and later on developing as obesity, or obese people, they're consuming less vitamin D because of many other factors. And there is a connection now with the metabolic syndrome, even polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is a problem which is can be connected also with the vitamin D deficiency. There is many, many health problems which can be there. Some cancers, breast cancer, colon cancer, prostate cancer. We know people with vitamin D deficiency, they have more breast cancer, colon cancer, and prostate cancer. This is already was published many, many, many years ago.
It seems to me, though, that there's still some controversy on a couple of issues. One is, what are really the best levels? Because obviously the panel just came out with 600 IU units a day, and I don't know what level they're recommending in the blood. What level are they recommending?
Yeah, they're recommending the blood the same. They're still 32. Is official recommendation. But they think it needs to be addressed. Maybe you need to less, go to the 25. But nobody can tell you which level is right for us, because all the studies were done with vitamin D level connected to the osteoporosis. Nothing was done in connection with other health risks,
benefits. Key point.
This is key point, which means sometimes we're mixing up what our level have to be for one disease, but we're forgetting all other health problems.
So just to reiterate, we were looking primarily, historically, at the relationship between vitamin D and bone health and bone
Absolutely
growth.
Right.
And that is where we came to the level of the 30.
32, yes.
But now we're seeing the relationship of vitamin D deficiency or with many other potential disease entities. And so now we have to have more research.
Absolutely right.
To confirm what levels are necessary to prevent those diseases.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely correct, because first of all, Institute of Medicine, when they come up with the recommendation increased vitamin requirements, their chairman, Catherine Ross, actually come up with it was a good idea. They increased vitamin D level three times. It used to be 200 international units a day, now 600, which means they realize we need to take more vitamin D. This was already huge achievement, because people realizing now it's definitely we were taking much less than we need. The question is how much you need to take in order to be appropriate. If you ask Michael Hollick from Boston, he's one of the big vitamin D advocates. He's going to tell you need to take at least 2,000 to 5,000 units a day, because in order to have adequate level.
Which means there's a lot of controversy.
Much you need to take. But the key point is we can measure vitamin D in the blood, which means this is have to be our point from where you start. You don't need to close your eyes and take 5,000 units a day without knowing what your levels are, which means the key is you go to your healthcare professional, ask them to check your vitamin D level, see where you're standing, then go from there. If your vitamin D level 35, 36, you don't need to be worried about it. It is good level. You're going to have normal health without any problems. Take your multivitamin a day, which can have 600 units a day. But if your level less than 32, you are 27, 28, or 20, you definitely need to be on supplements, 2,000 units at least a day. I'm advocating my patients 2,000 units a day if they have insufficiency. If they have deficiency, which means less than 10, they're going to receive 50,000 units once a week for at least 8 weeks.
Just get them up to the level.
Right. Because vitamin D goes in the body and it's reserves in fat cells. There is a place when you can go there and sit there and waiting. This is the reason why our body in the summer times, it reserves the vitamin D in our fat cells in order to use them in winter time when it's no sunshine. This is how it works. And this is the reason you need to have enough reserves of vitamin D somewhere stored in your body in order to be able to use. If you already run out of your reserves, that means the cell's going to start to grow abnormally. They need that hormone in order to function normally.
That's very interesting. So I guess one point I think maybe we didn't make clearly was the relationship between the need for vitamin D for calcium to work properly.
Absolutely.
So vitamin D is essential in calcium metabolism, which is important, obviously, for the bone strength.
Absolutely right. Without vitamin D, it doesn't matter how much calcium you're going to take, you're not going to absorb that calcium. It's going to come out, and you're not going to have any calcium in your body.
Well, when you talk about it being fat soluble and basically being reserved in the fat cells, what is the danger of too much vitamin D? I mean, with all of this kind of hoopla about taking more vitamin D and more vitamin D, because, you know, we get on a bandwagon very often, and then too little is worrisome. It can, you know, we've got cancer in the background and all these things we worry about. But then if people get too, you know, hyper anxious and take too much, what can happen?
I can tell you, it's very hard to do hypervitamin D. I never seen hypervitamin D.
Really?
It's okay. Very rare condition, but of course it's possible. If you take excessive dosages over many years without checking your levels, you can have hypervitamin D. It's extremely rare. The few studies shown if you have a level higher than 50 or 60, you may increase risk of your pancreatic cancer or prostate cancer. There are some studies available because with higher level vitamin D. But again, the good news is we can measure vitamin D. You don't need to take huge doses without knowing your vitamin D level, which means you don't need to overkill. Just go with a reasonable amount, follow your level, and not overdose. This is the whole idea.
What is some relationship, though, if you take more vitamin D or excessive vitamin D, you can also increase the calcium levels and perhaps get things like kidney stones or things of that? Have you seen that read about that?
Usually, increase of calcium levels, it depends what type of calcium you're taking. There are differences between calcium carbonate and calcium citrate. It depends which calcium you take. If you take calcium citrate, you're not going to have as much kidney stones than calcium carbonate. It's big confusion in general population, the type of calcium which they can, and I don't blame them, because when you go in store, you see different calciums, different names, you pick up whatever it's there and take 600 twice a day. There is sometimes, you know, if you have a family history of kidney stones, calcium carbonate can increase your kidney stones.
What you're pointing up, actually, which is, I think, the key point here, is that this whole world of vitamins and supplements is extremely problematic and confusing.
Absolutely.
Especially for the lay public. And now, when you take something like vitamin D that's being strongly recommended through their medical community, I think we really need what you're saying, very clear guidelines and better studies to help us understand.
Absolutely
what
right.
The
we need better
are.
Studies because vitamin D is important not only for adults, for children, for pregnant women. It depends. Your health is programmed in a womb. As I told you earlier, this depends what our mother's level of vitamin D and we're actually in a womb. Studies were shown mothers with the low vitamin D levels, their children, of course, they have more rickets and more health problems later on in their life. They have more risk of osteoporosis, more health other problems, which means for pregnant women, it's important to have adequate vitamin D. For children, extremely important. For young adults, in order to prevent more diseases later on in life, which means you're always thinking about 50 and above. How about the young people? Between 30 and 50, if you have a level of vitamin D deficiency in your younger age, your health is your adult life depends what you had in your younger age.
Well,
this is big problem.
Dr. Samuel Badalian, clinical associate professor of obstetrics and gynecology, Upstate Medical University. I want to thank you so much, because this is a very, very hot topic, a very important topic for our listeners, and I think you've really helped clarify a lot of things. We're talking about 30 now. 30 is the magic number
yes.
for our blood levels.
Remember about 30 and always try to keep your level
around
above 30.
Yeah, thank you so very much. Stay with us. We're going to take a quick break. I'm Linda Cohen. This is HealthLink on Air, 570 WSYR.